All right, friends, Peggy Hall back with you from thehealthyamerican.org. The title of this video is Epstein, a Mossad agent blackmailing the so-called global elite. And I say so-called because they're not really elite. They're not better than you are or better than I am. And I certainly don't believe that they're global, although as you can see from this image that I'm going to be sharing with you from a Substack, the allegations about Jeffrey Epstein are that he helped build Israel's global spy dominance, and that is what is being used right now in the attack against Iran. Just as an aside, before we really dive into this, let me know if you are one of the people that have gone down this Epstein rabbit hole. This is something that I have not given a lot of airtime to. It's so reprehensible. I'm not going to be talking about the harms to children. I'm going to be talking about how that was really a ploy, a technique to get these so-called global elite in compromised positions so that they could then be blackmailed in order to do the bidding of Israel. That's the theory. I am new to this. So if you want to go along on this rabbit, down this rabbit hole with me on this rabbit trail, I'm going to share with you some of the writings of this man, J.D. Hall, no relation to Peggy Hall. And I have not read his Substack. I know some of my subscribers do read it, and that's how I heard about this. I also want to say, let me know if you have watched that TV show on Apple TV called Tehran. It's very interesting. I don't really like to watch TV, but some people have alerted me to that, telling me how the parallels between that TV show and the reality, or the reality that were shown. In fact, some of these images, let me see if I can find them here. Some of these images, it's like, are these even real? Is this AI? It looks like there's a bird flying here. Does this look real to you? I have no way of confirming whether or not these bombings and the taking out of the, you know, Khomeini and all of that, if that's actually even accurate, or if this is all done on the world stage as well. So keep that in mind. I'm very skeptical by nature. But what I wanted to let you know is that there is actually, based on newly released FBI documents and investigations, the allegation is that Epstein worked or works, as I should say, for or with Israeli intelligence. And that intelligence is called Mossad. There are a couple of different groups that we're going to be talking about. Let me see if I've got the images for you here. I'll be coming back to that in just a moment. So the Mossad is the Israeli Secret Intelligence Service. Isn't that interesting? They have a website. You can just go to the website and learn about the Mossad. It says it's Israel's Institute for Intelligence and Special Operations, dedicated to gathering strategic and operational intelligence to promote stability in the Middle East and worldwide. The Mossad is responsible for clandestine activity. So it's basically the CIA of Israel. And many would say that the CIA works with the Mossad, and we're going to find out how this is related to different apps that we use on our phones, such as the Waze app, if you're stuck in traffic, or if anybody uses Amazon or Apple Cloud. All of this is intertwined with Mossad secret intelligence services. And the Military Intelligence Directorate, which is also called, I think it's called Section, here it is, 8200 Unit, Unit 8200. There are three main units in the Israeli Defense Intelligence Directorate. Now, why they were asleep at the wheel on October 7th will never be told in 2024. I really pulled the wool off of, how do I say that? I really exposed what was going on there in several videos that YouTube did not like at all. They probably still live on at BitChute, but we're going to see how all of this is connected. But basically, stick with me. Let me go back to the beginning. The Department of Justice has information, and they are investigating the allegation that Jeffrey Epstein was a co-opted Mossad agent, that he was trained as a spy under former Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Barak. Yes, just like Barack Obama. Ehud Barak. And apparently, there were other intelligence officers that claimed that Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell, that you see right here, that they ran the honey trap blackmail operation on behalf of Mossad to control the global elites. And this is Maxwell's father here. And he also, I'm going to tell you a little bit about him. So again, this is going to be a little bit of a windy road. I'm just learning about it. Maybe you're just learning about it. I will try to simplify it for you. What I recommend is that you actually go to the Substack if you're interested in reading what I'm about to share with you, because I'm summarizing what this, the research that this fellow has done already. And Epstein's former business partner claimed that Epstein admitted to having Mossad ties, and that's why he was able to have all these connections with the high wealth individuals and the so-called elite. So that's sort of the backstory here. Maybe you already knew about that. And basically the whole, you know, other aspect of all these dreadful, heinous activities were like a cover story, which is why some people call it a psyop, sort of the cover story for Epstein being involved in this Unit 8200 and the Mossad. And then in a moment, we're going to be looking at how the 8200 and the dealings that Epstein were involved in had to do with what we're told with taking down the Khamenei from the Iranian regime. So there's a lot there, but let me just start here. So here's the summary. For 30 years, the Israeli government has been quietly achieving cyber dominance over the United States, not through espionage per se, but through commerce. It begins with Robert Maxwell, Ghislaine's father, whose distribution of compromised software to American government facilities in the 1980s established the template, get the spy target to install it themselves, and then call it innovation. So in Israel right now, this so-called bombing, and the United States is calling it Operation Epic Fury, Israel is calling it Operation Roaring Lion, and it has to do with hacking the traffic cameras, and all of this has to do with the software that was being developed by Ghislaine Maxwell's father. That's where we're going on this little road trip here, friends. I found it rather interesting. So if you watch that TV show, Tehran, you're going to also see how they hijack, how the Mossad hijacks the traffic cameras, although why they didn't do it more than they if they had the capability of doing so. But apparently the cameras were hacked during the attack on Iran, and they were able to find out exactly where that Khamenei, the tyrant leader, was going to be. And that's how the United States and Israel were able to carry out the strike, by jamming the local mobile networks to prevent the bodyguards from receiving warnings or coordinating an escape. So we're told that's how this guy was taken out. I don't even know if that's true. As you know, I'm very skeptical. I hardly believe any of this. Maybe Khamenei is sitting on a beach in Gaza with Charlie Kirk drinking some non-alcoholic or alcoholic cocktails. Who knows? You don't know. I don't know. And the media certainly is spinning its own tails, but we're told that this was carried out through jamming the traffic cameras. So take that for what you will. We're going to be talking about this man here on the left, and that is Robert Maxwell, Ghislaine's father. So the story is that he distributed compromised software to American government facilities in the 1980s. And what they wanted to do was to actually use this as spying and actually call it innovation. So Israel has invested more in, I'm reading this now from the Substack that I showed you. Israel has invested more in cyber intelligence infrastructure than any nation on earth. And the crown jewel of that investment is Unit 8200. And that's from this Military Intelligence Directorate. The way the Soviet Union once identified promising children and poured resources into them to make them Olympic athletes, Israel is producing what they're called cyber operatives instead of gymnasts. So these children are groomed early. They're trained on live intelligence operations as teenagers, and they graduate with skills that no university curriculum can replicate. They're mandatory service, right? Because everyone in Israel, man and woman, male and female, are required to serve in the military. So their mandatory service keeps Israel at the cutting edge of signals intelligence, cyber warfare, and information dominance. But military service was never the primary return on that investment. The real purpose of this unit, 8200, only becomes clear after its veterans graduate. This is what's interesting, friends. They are seeded into American tech hubs with millions of dollars in startup funding from Jewish sources, often from international banks, and they get preferential treatment. So think about all of these different, we've got Microsoft here, Azure for the US government. We've got Amazon, the government cloud. So this Substacker is alleging that Israeli operatives are being sent to work for these companies in the United States, and they are actually embedded there so that they can be given preferential treatment and tasked with commercializing the same surveillance technology that begins its life in American government research programs, also like DARPA. And this information is shared with Israel through decades of intelligence sharing arrangements. So if you think your telephone number is secure and your address and your cell phone, this Substacker is telling us that Israel not only created the technology that's being used in the United States, but they also have their hands on our information. So we're going to be looking at that. Let's talk about this man a little bit more, this Ghislaine Maxwell's father. So basically, he also was an agent. He's now deceased, and I'll tell you about his death, very interesting, in just a moment. He was either an agent or an asset of Mossad. And basically, he worked for Mossad. And his death occurred in 1991. His body was found floating in the Atlantic Ocean, having apparently fallen from his yacht. His yacht was named Lady Ghislaine after his daughter. Now, you may want to take issue with the fact that that is a lady, or is it or is it not? Maybe the wife, who knows? We're not going to be talking about all the elite gender inversion in this broadcast, but that always is a question for me as well, because they like to exert their power and feel superior by deceiving the public into making people believe that they are something that they are not. It's a type of sick religion, I guess you could say, that they believe that if they present themselves as the opposite gender, that they have achieved some sort of godlike stature. If you want to learn more about that, there's a YouTube, this is my commentary now, there's a YouTuber called Mr. E, and he does a lot of those exposés if you would like to learn more. So anyhow, this Robert Maxwell, we're told, just fell from his yacht. Oh yeah, I wouldn't think that the Mossad is involved at all. The yacht that was named for his daughter, Lady Ghislaine. And it turns out that pathologists could not agree whether or not his death was accidental or murder or suicide. Isn't that interesting? Maybe it's all three. The Israeli president attended his funeral. The Israeli prime minister attended his funeral. And several former heads of Israeli intelligence and current heads of Israeli intelligence at the time attended. They said that he was a man who had done more for the country than many. So it's very clear that he was very much involved. So one thing that he did is he created, let's see if I have it for you. He created something called Promise, P-R-O-M. Do I have that for you? I'm not sure if I have it. He created this other program called Promise, and it stood for the Prosecutor's Management Information System. I thought that I had that. Here it is. Promise, the Prosecutor's Management Information System. This was developed, we're told, by an American company for the United States. Now, the Department of Justice, you can see this information is here on that website. They used it as case management software to track defendants, witnesses, judicial proceedings. And by all accounts, it was genuinely a very good software program, which is why Mossad wanted this program. And Mossad acquired a copy of this computer program from the Department of Justice and set about having a Silicon Valley contact install a backdoor in it, a hidden channel that would allow Israeli intelligence to read everything that the software processed without the user's knowledge or consent. This software was given to Robert Maxwell for distribution. He sold it on behalf of Mossad to intelligence agencies all over the world, including China, Russia, Bulgaria, Egypt, the United States. So that was one of the deep connections that Maxwell had with, basically, you could call it spyware. So again, I'm just reading from the Substack here. Okay, so now we're on to Jeffrey Epstein. And I know it's a little convoluted, friends. I'm just trying to give you the summary because this is a very, very long Substack. I want to try to keep your interest. But whatever Maxwell did with Israeli intelligence basically, you know, did him in the end, because he was either suicided or he committed suicide or he was murdered. And what happened is his daughter inherited the network, inherited basically Maxwell's lifestyle, inherited all of his connections, including to all of the Israeli intelligence officers. So basically, we can conclude that this Lady Ghislaine, the daughter of Robert Maxwell, completely in bed, I'll use that analogy, with Mossad and the Israelis, now is operating on her father's behalf. A significant portion of embezzled money wound up in offshore accounts, which explains the source of Epstein's wealth that basically came out of nowhere. And this is what they're calling the honey trap blackmail apparatus that Maxwell was running out of Mossad and basically gave it to his daughter. She inherited it. So what happens now is Jeffrey Epstein is connected with this man called Lex Wexner. And if you've ever heard of Victoria's Secret, and the secret, of course, is that those Victoria's Secret models are men dressed up like women. But if you've ever heard of Victoria's Secret, he is the one that was one of his companies, you know, the billion-dollar man. So basically, this guy built Victoria's Secret and decided that his most valuable philanthropic contribution would be handing this registered sex offender control over his finances, his properties, and his professional network. Wexner gave Epstein power of attorney. This guy gave Epstein power of attorney, gave him a Manhattan townhouse, gave him introductions to everyone. And basically, that included the Mossad Israeli prime minister at the time, Ehud Barak. And this is where the Department of Justice is confirming that Epstein basically was trafficking underage girls, and he was also authorizing wire transfers to the former head of Israeli military intelligence. So basically, this Substacker is concluding that all of these heinous crimes that Epstein was involved in were basically covers or I guess, his cover story for getting close to all of these so-called global elites. So let me go on here. Epstein was also involved in sending messages related to this unit 8200. I know it's a little convoluted, friends, but the conclusion that I'm drawing is that Epstein was involved with, or is involved with, Mossad, which is the intelligence agency, and also with the military intelligence directorate, which is the unit 8200. Epstein brokered sales of Israeli surveillance technology to Mongolia, to the Côte d'Ivoire, and he was building the infrastructure for the next generation of what Robert Maxwell had started. So let me kind of bring this full circle. So that Unit 8200 is the rough equivalent of America's NSA. Except the NSA doesn't have a formal policy of placing its alumni inside Silicon Valley, but that's what Benjamin Netanyahu does. It's hard for me to croak out that name because it's so distasteful. So basically, the Unit 8200 alumni network has produced an extraordinary catalog of technology companies that include Cellebrite, which makes the phone tracking tools used by law enforcement worldwide. They also run, if we're to believe it, the Amazon government cloud services, the Microsoft, and Waze. How many of you use this app? So what happens is they are able to get all of your information. So Waze was created by this Israeli Unit 8200. You might think it just helps you figure out what's going on in traffic, but what it does is it gives Mossad basically the ability to know your what's called pattern of life. And that's what connects to this fellow here. If I can call him a fellow, this tyrant here, we are told that the same software was able to track his everyday movements. And that's how they were able to disable the traffic cameras and do a strike on him. So that basically means that Waze, and here's another one we'll look at in just a moment. Waze also knows your pattern of life. They know where you drive. They know when you're stuck in traffic. They know what day of the week you go to the bank, when you go to the grocery store, when you go to church, what route you take, all of your shortcuts, how fast you drive, what your braking habits are. All of that is fed into, well, I don't do it, but some people are doing those safe driving apps. I don't even think you need the app. I think your car is tracking it. I think your phone is tracking that. This is just my commentary here. But the Substacker writes, this is how Unit 8200 creates a global surveillance state for Israel. So Netanyahu put this policy plainly, placing Unit 8200 members in multinational technology companies is a deliberate Israeli state strategy to ensure Israel's role as a dominant cyber power and to combat boycott movements by making Israel economically indispensable to the Western technology infrastructure. I mean, it's not a conspiracy theory. A sitting head of government, Netanyahu, is describing his country's intelligence strategy at a press conference. He's saying exactly what is going on with these agencies. He's confident that, you know, just like most people, don't even pay attention to this. So Jeffrey Epstein and the Ehud Barak, the former official in Israel, with approximately $1 million, started a company called Reporti Homeland Security, and it was later rebranded as Carbine. Carbine is an Israeli technology company that develops advanced emergency communication technologies. Only it doesn't really do that, friends. It's more like predictive programming. Carbyne focuses on providing real-time video, location, and data transmission to enhance emergency response systems worldwide. Here it is, Carbyne, eliminating emergency response barriers. Now, I need to tell you a little part of a personal story before we talk about this Carbyne. So a couple of weeks ago, I was driving and I was at an intersection in Palm Beach, and I saw a motorcycle down, like a single motorcycle accident. The motorcycle and the motorcycle rider were in a grassy area on the median, but they were not in traffic, but they were, you know, between two major thoroughfares. And I did not see anybody there. I did not see anyone helping. And I was not in a turn lane where I could pull over, but I was at a red light and my sister was in the car. So she dialed 911 and we wanted to report in this motorcycle accident because we could see that the motorcyclist was very slowly trying to come to a standing position. The phone rang for minutes before it was even answered. I finally hung up. It wasn't answered. We hung up the phone and then 911 called back and they asked for my location. Now, I'm really curious why they're going through this charade, because we're being told that they already know our location, but maybe they just wanted to find out what the call was. So anyway, we gave the information, but let me tell you what the Substacker JD Hall wrote about Carbyne. Carbyne markets itself as a next generation emergency communications platform, a 911 upgrade for the modern era. So let me give my commentary. Maybe that 911 response was purposely so bad that people are going to want to have this Carbyne. Just like when I try to get on a website, it's so bad. They want all sorts of verification numbers. They want me to look at my cell phone. They want to do all this double and triple checking of all that and, you know, prove you're not a robot. They make it so difficult that people will say, just forget it. Take my facial recognition or my thumbprint. I'm never going to do that. But I believe that they're going to make 911 so bad that they want people to beg for this. That's my commentary. All right. The Substacker writes, in purely technical terms, the description of a 911 upgrade is true. However, what Carbyne really is a signals intelligence collection architecture masquerading as civilian emergency response infrastructure. So let's look at some of these things that they have here. Okay. Applications. I don't even know. Okay. Public safety. Let's click on that and see what it, transforming emergency response with innovative technology. All right. Here's the commentary from the Substacker. When you call 911 in a country that has deployed Carbyne, the platform captures your phone number, your device ID, cell tower location, and a call timestamp before you have even spoken a word or agreed to anything. The system then streams your live video, your precision GPS coordinates accurate to within 15 feet, and a silent text channel to the dispatcher in case you're being held hostage. What are the chances of that? The video is recorded in the cloud. And of course, it's recorded in the Amazon cloud for the government or the Microsoft cloud. The dispatcher can remotely activate your phone's camera to photograph your surroundings. Are you hearing what I'm saying, friends? The dispatcher can turn on your cell phone camera and take a picture of you. It can videotape where you are and what you are doing. Those images are stored here on Carbyne's servers rather than on your device, meaning you yourself cannot delete them. Friends, I do not consent. All of this flows into what Carbyne calls C records, a behavioral profiling database that stores and analyzes every call you have ever made. All right, next week we're going to talk about the data centers. This is why they are building them. That takes a lot of energy and storage to keep every call you have ever made, every location you have ever called from, every pattern of behavior visible in that history, explicitly designed in Carbyne's own documentation to and I quote, enable decision makers to accurately analyze past and present behavior of callers. In other words, it's predicting future patterns. This is like the Minority Report. Let me know if you've ever seen that movie. I did see it years ago. I should probably watch it again. And wag the dog about fake, phony, fraudulent, false flag wars that aren't really happening other than on the screen. So, friends, emergency response is a completely different animal than predicting future patterns. Again, I do not consent. J.D. Hall, who wrote the Substack that I'm reading from, says that this is basically pre-crime software masquerading as emergency response software. So again, the cloud here is Microsoft Cloud, and it's also Amazon Cloud. Microsoft has documented contractual provisions requiring it to secretly notify the Israeli government when U.S. courts issue data orders related to Microsoft's Israeli operations. And also AT&T is involved. AT&T invested in Carbyne's most recent funding round, as has the NSA. So friends, basically, this Carbyne, we're told, was able to determine the Ayatollah's whereabouts and Israeli software, which is basically Microsoft. They're in cahoots. They were able to track this tyrant down and eliminate him, so we're told. But these images do not look very compelling to me. What I'm more concerned about is how this Carbyne can automatically track my whereabouts without requiring any consent. Now, I don't think I have a smart TV. I certainly don't have a smart, I don't do the Ring, and I don't do the smart refrigerator, and I don't do any of that stuff. I don't do the Nest thermostat. I don't have any connected appliances. I don't do Siri or Zuri or Emmy or whatever their names are. I can't even keep track of them. So I don't do that. And I'm really getting close to wanting to get rid of my cell phone, knowing that all of this is going on. So friends, that is where his Substack ends. I want to show you where you can read it. The rest of it is behind a paywall, but it's J.D. Hall. And the title is The Big Picture, How Epstein Helped Build Israel's Global Spying Dominance. I find it fascinating. That's about all I want to do on the Epstein case. Many of you have been following that. What I want to do is take a look at your comments. And I want to thank everybody for being on board. Let me see if I missed any of my images that I wanted to share with you here. Okay. We looked at that. We looked at that. Okay. Again, I can't really draw a conclusion about what's going on in Iran, other than I hope what we're told is going on isn't really happening. I'm not in favor of any tyrants staying in power, but how does the United States have any authority, especially without congressional approval, to invade a sovereign country and take out its leader, as reprehensible as he may be? That's no different than the prime minister of England taking out Trump and saying, well, you know what? We want the American colony back. You guys broke away from England, United Kingdom, and we want you to be part of the United Kingdom again. So we're going to just bomb Washington. I know some of you are applauding that idea. You heard it here first. All right, friends, we looked at all of this. This is just a summary of what I read to you about the profiling that Carbyne does. And what we'll do next is take a look at your comments here. So I want to thank everybody for being on board. I really want to also do a shout out to Rhonda and Valerie, the moderators. They're here day in, day out, and have been from the beginning. So thank you, everybody, for your comments. And I will also have this written up. My Substack was having a glitch today. I wasn't able to publish. So for some reason, it's telling me that it's offline. I don't know if I'm being targeted myself with the information that I'm sharing, but I do want to thank all of you for your perseverance. I know this was a little bit of a convoluted broadcast. As I say, I'm just learning about it myself. The bottom line that I'm concluding is that Epstein is or was or still is involved with Israeli intelligence. Israeli intelligence is involved in technology that we are using in the United States. So this is the super, 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 super simple summary. And our information that is being collected on apps such as Waze or anything that we store in the Amazon cloud or anything, our phone calls and all of that are able to be obtained by the Israeli government. Why they would want them, I don't know. But what's troubling to me is AI being able to create these very compelling fakes that could show me broadcasting, saying something that I never said, being places that I've never been. And that truly is where we need to draw the line. I think that AI is going to be the death of YouTube. There are so many horrible AI channels that people are watching unknowingly, thinking that these are real news stories or real people. So that is very troubling to me. Hopefully we'll have a rebound effect where we're going to be doing a lot more things in person, which is why I love my pen pals. Please send me a letter. There is a snail mail address for you. It's Peggy Hall, 205 Avenida Del Mar, number 681, that's San Clemente, California, 92674. Send me a card. I will send you a thank you. We need to develop offline ways of being in touch. Let me know if you're in Florida or you want to come to Florida. I really want to do a meet and greet sometime this year, but it will have to be done confidentially. I can't put it out, splash it across social media, especially in case the Israeli Mossad wants to come and attend, but we can do it, you know, privately. I can send you in the mail or something, information about it, but let me know. Email support@thehealthyamerican.org if you're interested in doing something in person. And thank you everybody for being on board. This was a kind of a difficult video to make. It's hard to be faced with all of the web of technology and all of the tentacles and where it goes. On the other hand, maybe if they're tracking all of the millions and millions of people in the world, you and I will kind of fly under the radar. So I guess that could be the flip side of it. I'm not going to lose sleep over it. I'm going to live my life fully and freely. I'm going to do things that I enjoy. I'm going to spend time with people that I love, my animals, my family. And I encourage you to do things that bring you joy. All right, tomorrow is Thursday. I'll have a top hit for you. And then Friday, join me over at Living Soul with Peggy Hall. I'm going to share with you some of my health and beauty tips that you're asking me for. And so you don't want to miss that. All right. Signing off now, friends. I appreciate you. And I look forward to seeing you in an upcoming